All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, if you're using a Bible in front of you, it's page 1076. I'm amazed by stories of resurrection. Of course, we who are followers of Jesus, there's quite a bit that we have looked at and that's important as it relates to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and a future resurrection for us. But we don't often think about some of the other resurrections in the Bible that lead up to this one. Allow me to review some of those for you briefly. Elijah was a prophet of God, and during a drought, a widow had helped him, and he helped the widow, but eventually the widow's son died. Up here we have 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 19 to 22. "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow that I'm staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elisha was a prophet that took over for Elijah. He stayed in the home of a childless woman. He prophesied that this woman would have a child. She does have a son, but then he develops an incredible headache and eventually leads to his death. 2 Kings 4, beginning in verse 21. "She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes." And this is a kind of a weird one, where Elisha has another part in someone being raised from the dead, even while he is dead himself. 2 Kings 13, verses 20 and 21. "Elisha died and was buried. Now Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders, so they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up to his feet." And then to the New Testament, a synagogue leader named Jairus asked Jesus to come heal his daughter from sickness, but time ran out and she died. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 38. "When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, 'Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep.' But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him. He went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, get up.' Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old." Jesus came upon a widow who had just lost her only son to death. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. "When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, 'Don't cry.' Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, 'Young man, I say to you, get up.' The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother." These are some of the resurrections of the scripture leading up to this. But outside of Jesus' resurrection, there is probably no more famous resurrection that people still reference in a variety of ways today than the resurrection of Lazarus. And that's what we find today in John chapter 11. If you've been with us recently, you know that Jesus has claimed to be a variety of things. The bread of life, the living water, and others. Last week, he's the good shepherd. Today, he uses this physical illustration of physical life to reference something much deeper, much more important, and much more eternal in who he claims to be. So join me in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." So this is how we're first introduced to Lazarus. He's sick, and this is going to lead to the miracle that's going to reveal more of who Jesus is. We find out he's from Bethany. That's about 2 miles away from Jerusalem on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. We're introduced to his sisters, Mary and Martha. And I think it's next week we'll get to the story that's referenced here about pouring perfume on Jesus' feet. So there's a good relationship here between Jesus, Mary, and Martha, and that's why they send word, "Your friend, the one you love, Lazarus, is sick." Now Jesus' response here is twofold. Did you notice it? First, the sickness will not end in death, and we'll understand that more later. And the fact that this is going to happen is going to bring glory to God through God the Son, which is a relationship we have seen throughout John. If you're taking notes this morning, there is an outline there in your bulletin. There's also extra outlines on the back table. And let's begin by writing this down. Death will not be the end of Lazarus, which will glorify God the Father through God the Son. We've seen this connection throughout John with God the Father, God the Son. Remember, everybody has this problem with, where did Jesus come from? There's no way that you can be from God. You can't be God's Son. And yet, this connection. Everything Jesus does brings glory to God, which shows who he is in relationship to God. And that continues today. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they will see by this world's light." Verse 10. "It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." By the time he gets the message, Lazarus has already died. He knows that. He knows that there's no rush. He knows that this is all a part of God's sovereign plan of how this timing is going to work out. Now he tells them, "We're going to go back to Judea," and the disciples, typically at first, don't get it. "Why would you go back there? They tried to stone you last time we were there. Why do you want to die?" Makes sense to them, makes sense to us. As I was reading this particular story, I was thinking of the situations that cause us in life to ask God why. Why, God, would you do that? Why would you allow this? Why the timing? Why would you allow this in people that you say that you love? A lot of times Jesus's plan, God's plan, doesn't make a whole lot of human sense to us. He talks about the hours in the day here. He's emphasizing that God has given him, his son, a certain amount of time to do his work. The night is coming. He talks about that in reference to time coming to an end for us as well. And so Jesus says, these are the things I need to do now because I only have this certain amount of time. Again, they don't fully understand what he's saying. They're concerned about his physical safety. Jesus is concerned about doing God the Father's will. Continue here in verse 11. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. I kind of love how the disciples don't really understand things at first. It makes me feel a little better, as there's often things I don't understand when I first see them or what God is doing. So they think, well, if it's really sleeping, he's going to sleep, he's going to get better, he's just sick. Verse 14. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Verse 16. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Hey, he's going back to Judea. They wanted to kill him. Maybe he's going to die. Let's just go and die with him. They still don't fully get what God is going to do. Remember, this is about the glory of God. He says, I'm glad I was not with him. That's why I'm going to go now, so that you may believe. Let's write this down. Death will reveal who Jesus is, which will lead to belief. They were struggling. The disciples were doubting, as most of us would admit that we have and sometimes still do. So Jesus is going to bring them into a situation that has to do with physical death so that they can learn what's really important about spiritual death. More revelation of who he is. Verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet them, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. The writings of the rabbis make a suggestion as to why John writes that Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days before Jesus got there. The Jewish non-believers thought that the soul hung around in the body for 3 days and then left on the 4th day, meaning that death was then irreversible and the body began to decompose. So the fact that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days would prove this is irreversible, even according to the pagan beliefs of the people. There's no expectation that 4 days dead, anybody's going to recover. And that's where Jesus comes into the picture. Lazarus' sister Martha comes out. Mary stays back. She's in grieving. Many people with her are grieving. Martha comes out to meet Jesus. And the first thing that's recorded that she says is probably the first thing I would say, the same situation. Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. The belief that God would not have allowed her brother, his friend, to die. Jesus' response, verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus brings up the resurrection, states Lazarus will live again. Well, Martha, she, you know, had gone to Sunday school. She knew that we would all rise again. Those who believed would rise and be with him someday. But she didn't realize what Jesus was about to do, to use this idea of physical death and life to reveal something much deeper. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. This is the statement that reveals who Jesus is and what he wanted them to know at this moment. And everything that goes on before and after it comes back to this statement. So let's write it down. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. All the other statements revolve around this one statement. And every person, including Martha at that moment, everyone who viewed the resurrection, and all of us today have to answer the question. If we fully believe this, that Jesus actually died, that he actually rose again, that it's only through Jesus that we can have eternal life. This is not about physical death. That's not what this was really all about. Lazarus was going to have to die again a few years later. This was about spiritual death. This was about spiritual life. And here's the question. Look at the end of verse 26. The question we all have to answer after he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? That even if you believe in me, that even though you physically die and everyone will, that it doesn't end there. That there's spiritual life that lasts forever. Yes, Lord. Verse 27, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And that was the key, right? That was the thing that people were struggling with. Is he the promised Messiah or not? Is he God the Son or not? And she said, yes, you are God the Son. I believe in you. No matter what happens with my brother, I trust in you. Verse 28. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. Verse 31. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. Martha goes to her sister Mary, the teacher. Jesus is here. She runs out to him. And those who were mourning with her, this is fairly normal in those days. You have a group of mourners with you. And so they thought she was going to the tomb. They all follow to where Jesus is. Verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Mary repeats the same sentiment that Martha had. If you had been here, my brother would not be dead. He sees her pain and her emotion. He sees the other people around weeping as well. And this causes Jesus, who, yes, was God, but also fully human, to be troubled in his spirit. Verse 34. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Still many doubt God and what Jesus did by raising doubt and questions. But they were about to see the demonstration of Jesus' power over death. Verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Verse 40. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" I mean, Martha said the obvious thing that everyone was thinking, right? Man in the grave for 4 days, this is really going to be a bad smell. But he reminds her of her belief and reminds her of his promise. God is about to be glorified. And he wanted all of these people that were there to participate in this, for them to see. I mean, he could have certainly just rolled the stone away or have had Lazarus do it. He has them roll the stone away. He has them all there to see what is about to happen. Verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." So Jesus takes his time. He prays to the Father. He knows he always hears them. He doesn't have to say this, but he says it because he wants everyone around to hear. He wants them to understand what is about to happen, who he is in relationship to God. Again, this is not so that Lazarus can just spend a couple more years on this earth. That's really not the point of this. He didn't just go around raising everybody from the dead so they could live longer. That wasn't what was going to glorify God. This was to show who Jesus was so that they could have eternal life if they believe. Verse 43. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." In your notes, under "Jesus is the resurrection and the life," let's write this fact, that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and gave him longer physical life. We saw dramatized, but don't you wish you could have been there for that? To see the looks on people's faces and what happened as he's walking out, to imagine the response of his family, of everyone who was there. But we can get caught up in the details of this resurrection. We can transport ourselves back to what that would have been like. But we need to see the next verse, and we need to remember why this happened in the first place. What was the purpose? Verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. That's why he raised Lazarus from the dead. By God's grace and mercy, Lazarus lives a little bit longer to bring him glory. But more importantly, there were Jewish people, there were those who were there for the funeral, who were there to mourn his death. 4 days in the grave. But now, they saw what Jesus did. They believed in him. And now when their time came to die, they would not be physically raised from the dead to live a little bit more on this earth. They would, after the final resurrection, have eternal life. So let's write this down, that those who believed in Jesus received eternal life. And that's why Jesus was here. For the 33 years or so that he was here, the few years of public ministry, he was not here to make everybody feel better. He was not here to heal all diseases. He was not here to raise everyone from the dead or do miracles. He was here to use all of those things that he did to point them to God through himself, so that if they would believe, they would have eternal life. As Jason comes up to prepare for a final song, I'd like to close with some questions that are in your outline here and ask you to maybe take some time to think through these questions, self-evaluation, discussion, and application. Number one, when God delays in responding to your crisis, will you trust in him? Jesus did not respond in the way that Mary, Martha, the disciples thought he should respond in terms of timing. I'm going to guess that you, like me, have come to that point at different times and wondered, why, what's going on here? Why isn't God answering? Why isn't this happening the time I'd like it to happen? Well, I think the question is what came down to Mary and Martha and the disciples. Do you trust him? Will you trust him? Number two, have you grown in faith when God has done or has not done something that did not fit with your timing or plan? Jesus said, I'm going to delay doing this because I want you to see it and I want you to believe. And when we pray and we ask God to do something, or we ask him not to allow something, if that happens, it can cause us to think about our faith. It can cause us to doubt. But will we trust? Will we have stronger faith as we go through a time when we're just waiting on him, where we see him at work, but he's not working the way we would like him to work? They probably thought in that day it's all about Lazarus. It's all about our dead brother. It's all about bringing him back to life. But it wasn't really about that. It was about believing in Jesus. It was about growing in faith. It was about eternal life. So that brings us to number three and the question that everyone has to answer, as Martha did in that day. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Son of God? To believe that, you have to transfer whatever faith you've had in religion or your good works or morality or hope that your good works will outweigh your bad works someday. You have to transfer faith you've had in anything or anyone else, and it has to be placed solely on Jesus Christ. And that's when you begin to follow him. Here's what the Bible says about the central truth of Jesus himself rising from the dead. It's up here, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And Romans 10, 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you need to talk this over with someone that you trust, someone here or one of us, we would love to talk more about that with you. Here's the final question, number four. Since Jesus is the resurrection and the life, what difference is that going to make in your life this week? This is for those of you who have already trusted in Jesus. You're already his follower. But sometimes we can easily lose the connection with what Jesus did for us and his resurrection and the truth about him to how we're living today, how we're living each day. So I hope you'll take some time this week to consider these questions and how it relates to what Jesus has done. Let's stand together and sing.